Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It is Loud and Local, and typically when you hear my voice introducing someone, I'm talking to a local musician. I'm talking to someone in the industry or someone who's in the scene who's putting out a new album or playing a show, promoting something big. We are promoting something big, but it is it's not necessarily a musician. It's someone who helps out musicians in this community. Really incredible organization called SMASH, which is Seattle Musicians Accessing Sustainable Healthcare. You may have heard of it, and it is something that's doing great things here in the Seattle community. So I got Nikki Barron here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. We were talking a little bit about something that is very important right now, and you actually had the first you actually had a really cool event this past Wednesday, and that was a training summit. Is that training? Is that the correct word of saying it?
Yeah, it was a workshop.
Workshop. That's the word. Yeah. I brain farted there. But it's the Anti-27 Club. So the Anti-27 Club, it's a drug and alcohol harm reduction public health campaign. And I'm reading that directly from your sheet, so I know that I'm correct because that's right in front of me. Obviously, the name taken from so many musicians throughout history who've passed away from, you know, at the age of 27 or younger. Tell me a little bit about the campaign and how everything went.
Yeah. So the Anti-27 Club is, like you said, it's a harm reduction campaign, and we partnered with King County Public Health. And essentially, our goal is to start the conversation around the cultural connection between substance use and the music industry. Mm-hmm. So probably something you can relate to. That's probably the only industry that I know of that sometimes you even just get paid in alcohol, depending on what gig you're doing.
Yep.
And so, and how that increase and almost mythologizing, you know, substance use in the industry, especially for artists, has caused our community harm. And we've lost really great people, you know, locally, people like Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix, to this. And so, this campaign is really near and dear to my heart because during the pandemic, I personally know two wonderful musicians who died from an accidental overdose of fentanyl. And it's becoming a real problem nationwide and really acute here in King County. And so we just wanted to prepare our music community for the inevitable crossover that we're going to see.
So this is something that, you know, we spoke in preparation for the interview in the past, and this is something that you're super passionate about. It was kind of like your passion project was the Anti-27 Club. Is that correct?
Yeah. Just during the pandemic, we saw across the board, not just in the industry, but very acutely in the industry, increase in struggles with mental health and access to substances. And through that connection, we saw statewide and countywide and citywide an increase in fentanyl overdoses. Mm-hmm. And most of the time on accident from being in other substances. And so that I've just been watching it happen over the course of the last like 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it just gets closer and closer to home. Yeah. I feel like the more, you know, I keep hearing about more people who've passed away, you know, most notably, you know, the Taylor from the Foo Fighters, like those kinds of situations. We're just seeing it a lot more. And for me, it's all about preparation. Like, no one's saying that partying's not fun. We're just saying party safer and be prepared. And test your substances before you use them, you know how to use safer. And then if you are in a situation where you have, you know, maybe had an accidental dose of fentanyl or something like that, you're prepared for that situation by having something like Narcan.
Someone that Metal Shop and Loud and Local listeners would know for sure is a singer of a Texas metal band we got to interview called Power Trip, Riley Gale. He passed away within the first few months of the pandemic from an accidental overdose. And that was so sad and so tragic. And, you know, he had so much to offer and he was such a, you know, a huge spirit and such a lovely guy. I absolutely understand. And it's, you know, it's everywhere out there, fentanyl, and it's like super scary. So,
Yeah, they're seeing it in everything. Pressed pills, you know, they've gotten so sophisticated at making these pills that they look like one thing, but they're just fentanyl. Yeah. Or in powdered substances. They've even found it in substances that are in like rock form. And a big issue that I've seen and from the people that I've lost is that it's when you mix fentanyl with alcohol.
No worries.
When you mix fentanyl and alcohol, that mix is super, super dangerous. And it doesn't take much for that to become an emergency situation. Yeah. And so being prepared and having Narcan, having people around you that know how to use it and where to find it and have access to it is very, very important.
So if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about with fentanyl and we're talking about Narcan, from what I understand, Narcan is almost like an EpiPen for someone who is experiencing, you know, things going on with fentanyl if they're experiencing an accidental overdose. Or is that correct? Is it kind of like an EpiPen?
Yeah, you can think about it like that. So naloxone or Narcan, which is the name brand that most people are familiar with, attaches to the opioid that they've ingested and essentially gives them time to get to emergency services or to emergency services to get to them. So it's completely harmless if you have not taken Narcan or if you have if you haven't taken fentanyl, it's completely harmless.
Sure.
So, I mean, I've shown people, I just put it in my nose and nothing happens. And so it's super safe to have around if a kid got it or your pet got it, would cause them no harm at all. And it's actually, there's a standing order for the state of Washington. So anybody can get it. And a lot of times it's free or you can go buy it at a pharmacy near you.
So this workshop that you guys, and when I say you guys, I don't mean, you know, just a few guys. I mean, the group Smash, you had this awesome workshop this past week, for the Anti-27 Club. So you had people from, you know, bar staff, local musicians, local, you know, people within the industry was it open to pretty much anyone in the music industry or just open to the whole community?
It was open to the public. And we definitely were targeting people who work in the industry. We at Smash support musicians, but we're a community. And one way that we can help support musicians is to equip the people that are also around musicians, you know, people who work on tours, people who work events, bartenders, you know, venue staff, security.
Yeah.
So that was the main target, but we had people from all over that came to learn how to spot overdose, what to do if they see one, get a kit that had Narcan in it to have at their events, as well as learn about the trends that are happening in King County and statewide around fentanyl overdose. And then also safer practices for people who do use substances, how to use test strips, and what to look for, you know, before you ingest and how you can ingest in a safer way. So it was pretty sweet.
So I know that you kind of just casually mentioned, you know, in your description there, like the trends and the numbers and stuff. And I know that you have a lot of data. So can you tell me a little bit about what some of the trends and the numbers here in King County are as far as accidental overdoses and fentanyl?
Yeah, so it's hard to say how many are accidental versus, I guess they're all accidental. People aren't trying to overdose generally. But from 2022 to 2021, there was a 40% increase. And Jeez. So, yeah, like beginning the pandemic just shot up. So in 2021 alone, 718 people passed away in King County from fentanyl overdoses. And we're already at 540 for 2022. So it is trending that we are going to surpass the amount of people that we lost in 2021. And just like for reference, in 2018, it was around 400. So by between 2018 and 2021, it's, you know, nearly doubled.
Yeah. Wow. So if you're listening to this now and you probably were not at the workshop, but there is a way to view this, is that correct? To check out this workshop.
Yes. Yeah, so in a couple of weeks, once we get the video edited, it will be up at anti27club.com.
That's awesome.
And on that site, you'll also find resources about how to spot overdose and how to use Narcan, harm reduction approaches to substance use, printable posters, as well as links to find Narcan near you, and lots of resources there.
That's awesome. So definitely, you know, stay updated with that. And I'll be linking that on the Loud and Local page and the KISW page when that's available to view on demand. Do you mind if I ask you a little bit about like what got you involved with SMASH?
Nope, that sounds great.
How did you get, you know, affiliated? Are you someone who kind of, you know, was really involved in the local music community? Or do you come from the nonprofit space, or how'd you get involved?
I've been doing shows since I was like 15.
Nice. Are you a musician yourself?
No. Okay. I've always been a little peripheral. I always say I can like play enough to be like a party trick. You know, I can play Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus on my ukulele, but,
okay, nice.
But no, I'm not a musician myself, but I've always been in the scene and I have a lot of respect and admiration for people who make music.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a small town and really being part of that first generation that had like full access to the internet, and being able to discover music and discover my community online, and then eventually move to the Northwest where so many of my favorite bands were from.
Yeah.
I just got involved. So I did photos, videos, I promote shows. I make album art. I do kind of the full spectrum. I've produced a record for a friend. So I've kind of just been in the mix. Before Smash, I was at the Crocodile.
Yeah.
And did marketing communications for the opening in the new location. And everyone just kept sending me this job and being like, this is you. This is you. Because I've always been on the artist advocate side. The Crocodile was my first time really working on the venue side. And I've done, you know, event production and things, but always with a really artist focus.
Yeah.
And so it just felt like a natural fit. And then I met the team and just absolutely fell in love with Denise and Megan, who also work at Smash, and the board and the mission and everything they stand for. So it was an easy yes. It was hard. It was actually really hard to leave the Croc. Like, I'm still very connected over there.
Sure. I'm going there right after this conversation. I'm going to go see a hardcore show there at Madame Lou's.
I love Madame Lou's. That's actually my favorite room in the new location. So you're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm still really connected over there. They're some of the most, I would say, like artist forward venues in town. Definitely always part of the conversations when I was there. And so it was hard to leave, but I could not have asked for a more rewarding job now working at Smash, like getting to help musicians access resources like the Anti-27 Club, but also, you know, we offer free therapy and dental care and vision and hearing, and we'll help you get your vocal cords scoped for nodes. And if you have repetitive injury from playing instruments, we can help you with that. So we're really trying to not only help people with acute issues like injuries, or, you know, dental problem, you know, if you have a hurt tooth, but we're really big on the preventative side. So getting, yeah. you know, sometimes the people that come and become members, which it's free to be a member. So if you're a musician and you're listening, go join smashyellow.org, completely free to be a member. But we want people to go get their teeth cleaned twice a year. We want them to go see a primary care physician. Kind of what I was starting to say before was that when we speak to musicians and they join, we'll ask them, like, when's the last time you saw the doctor? And a lot of them can't tell you that the last time they saw a doctor, when it wasn't because they were already sick or they were already hurt. Yeah. And so we're really trying to get our musicians to have longevity and to have a really creative career and make lots of great, amazing art and put that out into the world. And we believe that it starts with wellness and being healthy. And so we're really big on the preventative side.
They don't have to be a martyr, you know, for their health doesn't have to deteriorate because of their starving artist status. They can be an artist who makes incredible music and, you know, kind of just does their thing and creates this great music, but then they can also be healthy and they can go see the doctor. And that's what this community in Seattle, and that's what Smash has done for people and it continues to do. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so I thought it was important to have you on. You know, to talk about the Anti 27 Club and to talk about Smash. So I do have to ask, you guys have some pretty cool people that have been involved in some of your events, right? So Taryn Daly, last year, you guys had an event at Paramount and, you know, I saw a picture with her, Dave Matthews, you know, like Duff McKagan or like all these, you know, big rock stars of Seattle. Seattle's got some pretty big names. Have you ever had a moment where you're like, oh my God, like with like someone that you've met, like at one of your events or at, you're just like, I just have having a fanboy, fangirl moment.
You know, I'm kind of notorious for not knowing what a lot of these famous musicians look like.
Okay.
And so I oftentimes put my foot in my mouth and I'm like, oh, are you a musician? And then someone's like, are you kidding me? This is the bass player for Mudhoney. And I'm like, oh, like my bad.
Yeah.
So I haven't had any that I can think of off the top of my head.
Sure.
But as a teenager, I really loved the Seattle band, Say Hi to Your Mom. And they go by Say Hi now.
Yeah.
And I saw him in like a KXP, like really small intimate show. And I was like getting my vinyl record signed. And I just was so overwhelmed because I just had been listening, my formative years, like 12, 13 years old, just, you know, songs about robots and like shoegaze and just, you know, being emotional as a little emo kid. And I just said to him without thinking, you know, I just went, I moved here for you. And he just like went blank. He just went blank. And then he kind of took a pause. And then he was like, cool. What's your name? So we could like sign the records. And so that's probably like my most embarrassing, like foot in my mouth, blub. But I often don't know who I'm talking
to. How do you respond to that? Like, hey, I moved here for you. Okay.
He just kind of looked at me blank for a few, like it felt like 5 years, but it was probably like 30 seconds. And then he just breezed right past it like a real pro.
I have one specific memory like that. And it's not, you know, typically, you know, I've interviewed some pretty big musicians and stuff, and I try to keep it pretty professional and try to, you know, but there was one time, I'm a big fan of the band Deftones. I got to interview them at the Paramount. And, you know, I went to Chino and I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, like, your music means so much to me. And there was like this awkward silence where it was just, he was just like, oh, thanks. And it was just like, skipped a beat, like, all right, well, let's go into the interview. Like, I don't like, thanks, you know, there's not much like, what was, I don't know what I was expecting, like from that, you know, like it wasn't like a thing that I did that was like terrible. It was just like an awkward thing. I was like, okay, well,
like, I can cut this out. It's going to be fine.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So anyways.
Yeah, I've had a few moments, you know, with people, but it tends to be mostly me being like, I don't know that you're famous, and I don't understand why everyone's like running around you and So, like, you know,
it keeps them grounded. I'm sure they appreciate it. It keeps them grounded, you know?
I recently had a situation where that happened, and somebody like called me out in front of them. And then when the other person walked away, he was very like gracious and was like, I actually really appreciate that. It's been a really long time since I've gone anywhere and not had somebody, you know, treat me differently. So it was, So I think maybe they appreciate my lack of time to look up what most of these musicians look like, but I do know what Dave Matthews looks like. And, yeah. And he is very nice. So nice. He's sort of that just easy to be around. You don't really feel like you're around a famous person. So
Totally antithesis of a rock star, you know, total vibe. So,
yeah, I think sometimes people beat him up a little bit about his like being so likable. But I'm like, I don't know. I like it. I'm here for it.
Well, if there's something that what do they want him to be, a total jerk? Like, come on now. Like, what? If you're going to beat him up for being a nice guy, like what do they want him to be? You know, anyways.
I agree.
So how we mentioned how to get involved with Smash Seattle if you're a musician. And so if people want to find out more about Anti-27 Club, of course, the video will be coming up shortly once it's all edited and everything. But you can go to anti27club.com and find out about different harm reduction. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just visit anti27club.com to learn more about the campaign and how you can get involved if harm reduction and overdose prevention is something that you're interested in. And if you are just interested in supporting musicians in the region, please visit smashseattle.org, or you can go actually, we just announced our big fundraiser that you were mentioning, that in the past we've had people like Dave Matthews, Duffy Kagan, we've had Stone Gossard, Mike McCready, Aaron Jones. Like, I mean, the list goes on and on. This year, the list is tasty. There's some people in there that I'm like, how did we get them? Because I don't do the booking. The booking is done by our friends at Black Fret Seattle.
Can we get some hints, or is it all top secret?
It's pretty top secret. Okay, yeah. Okay. Not everything is signed, you know, so we have to wait until it's all signed. But there's some very, very good ones this year, and some people who are coming back that have played in the past. And this year, we're actually doing a tribute to David Bowie.
Very cool.
And it's on November 20th. So if you visit smashtribute.com, you can actually go and RSVP so you can know when the tickets go on sale. And when you do that, you get entered to win two VIP tickets and tickets to our after party, which is pretty legendary. I'm putting together some pretty choice things for our after party. So you want to go and RSVP so you can enter to win those tickets.
That's awesome. That's going to be great. And I didn't get to go last year, so I'm going to try and go this year. And I'm going to hold you to your word. This better be epic, because you're making it sound pretty epic. So it sounds pretty, it's going to be, I think. I have a feeling. So,
I mean, if you've seen it in the past, you know, and like you go every year. I feel like once somebody goes once, they always come back. And you can actually see some of our past performances on the website as well. So you can see these really cool curations. So kind of what makes these events unique is that we don't just have a bunch of like Seattle legacy artists doing this. Yeah. We pair them with emerging artists from the region.
Awesome.
So you'll see, you know, we've got an amazing duet from like Duffy Kagan and Shayna Shepherd. And we have, you know, so there's some really cool combinations that we create. Awesome. So it's a really like special, just really special night. And it's to give healthcare and wellness to our local musicians. And I don't know if you saw the Crosscut article that came out yesterday, but it's really rough out there for them right now.
I'm going to have to take a look. All right. Yeah. I'm going to have to take a look on Crosscut. So
the word they use is exodus. I mean, that's intense.
Yeah. All right. Well, definitely check out anti27club.com. And what was the website? It was smashtribute.com.
Yeah, Smash Tribute to RSVP, or you can find links to all of these things at smashseattle.org.
All right. Nikki, before we go, you are involved in the Seattle music scene. You are involved with Smash. You've been involved with the Crocodile. You have a tie to this music community. What is your favorite or some of your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Oh, of all time. Gosh, this is really hard. So probably I was an emo kid. So definitely like Death Cab for Cutie. Say Hi to Your Mom. I loved Taco Cat. I remember seeing them for the first time live and just like melting, just completely melting. So those are kind of like the ones that like drew me up here. And of course, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Mudhoney and all of those great ones, Jimi Hendrix. I also have a really weird obsession with Quincy Jones and like his whole persona and just everything that he is. Cool. We'll have to get into that off interview about why I love it so much. But yeah. And then like locally, you know, artists I really love that are playing around all the time now, you know, Chris King and the Gutterballs, Shayna Shepherd, Smokey Brights. There's this like all girl band called Lemon Boy that I'm really obsessed with. King Sheehan, she's amazing. It's really hard to choose. Smoker Dad, Small Paul. Like there's just so many. I spend most of my time going to local shows. So I don't see as many like major touring artists as I'd like.
But one of these nights, we got to have you take over the show and just play your jams. Jesus, don't take my job.
I grew up in radio. So my mom was the manager of a radio station in my hometown. So that's, I think, where it all started.
What was this hometown? What station? Shout it out.
I'm from Abilene, Texas. And so what are all the stations? She had a country station, Keen 105. They had I can't remember the name of the rock station.
Texas Rock.
Yeah, it definitely sounded exactly like that. I'm trying to remember the name of it. And I think it's probably changed by now. But
C-Man and the Carrot in the morning.
So it did change the name because now the name is Rock 108, which that is not what it was. But yeah, like I grew up, you know, with people like there's this DJ Frank Payne and like, you know, just like growing up in these communities, you know, and just being surrounded by music all the time, going to see shows when I'm a bar rules are different down there. So like you can go to a bar with your mom when you're 9 years old. So definitely going to shows very early on.
Your mom's like, Nikki, hey, come meet Pantera. You're like, oh, hey, how's it going?
She introduced me to do you remember that band Bowling for Soup? I don't know if they were. I remember I was like 10 and I was like, oh my God, Bowling for Soup.
Greatest band ever.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say greatest band ever, but definitely decently age appropriate for a 10-year-old.
Absolutely.
I was also listening to, you know, Blink-182 and that, you know, that Take Off Your Pants and Jacket record. Like, I don't think she wanted me listening to that, but
she's like, here's a healthy alternative, Nikki.
Yeah, here's the Blink-182. They do cartoon music too, so it's okay.
And songs about trucker hats. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Nikki, we got into everything. We got into the Anti-27 Club Smash. We got into the benefit show. We talked about your love of Bowling for Soup. No, I'm just kidding. And so much more. So any final words for Loud and Local?
Just, you know, I love the show because it's all about local music. And that is what Smash is about. It's about helping artists build sustainable lives and be healthy and make great music. So just keep listening and supporting shows like this. I feel like it's always the local show that goes first when a station gets, you know, corporatized. So keep listening and showing your support of this show and come out and support local musicians through organizations like Smash and Black Fret, because that's how we're going to be able to keep music here and actually put our money where our mouth is. We call ourselves a city of music. Well, let's be it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nikki. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.